Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, an identical twin kept seeing her sister in the house, but the only problem was her sister wasn't even home.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Why, thank you so much for listening. We love to hear those ghost stories, so send them in. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like an ad-free version of the show with advanced episodes, access to the archive, all of that could be yours if you're a premium subscriber. And you can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon's with me today.
Hey, how are you doing?
I don't know. Because I feel like everything is going wrong.
Well,
yeah. With just equipment. And I'm like, okay, it's not paranormal. It can't be paranormal, but it feels really paranormal. Number one, my microphone turned itself way down for some weird reason. Like the input level in your computer, like I'm trying to record stuff. I can't hear it. I'm like, what's the matter?
Okay, Where is it? Is it a slider you're talking
about? No, it's in the computer. It's settings. It's not the mixing board. I keep looking at the mixing board going, everything's fine. Everything's set right. Somehow, on my computer, the input microphone is usually at 62. Today, it was at 21.
it took me half an hour
to figure that out.
Okay, so is it one of, like, you know, on your keyboard, there's a couple buttons at the top that can turn it up or down.
That could be, and it could be my cat just walked over top of it.
I'm going to go with that.
Because my cat does stuff like that.
But those two buttons would control what we're talking
about
here.
They don't give no shits. But the other one, they're not responsible for.
Okay.
So the way my studio is set up, and this has all happened within the last, well, totally in the last week, 5 days probably. So in my studio, I have my mic on a boom arm. So the mic is kind of suspended. So I don't have a mic stand that sits on my desk. It's an arm, which is great because I was in radio for 100 years, 30, and that's what I'm used to. So it's super easy. So that's what I have. And I have two of them, a guest mic and my mic. So I've been having problems with my mic staying in position. And so one day I come in and my mic stand had just collapsed. So I was like, well, that's really weird. I can't get it fixed. I'm tightening, I'm loosening, tightening. I'm doing everything I can think of. I'm Googling it. I'm doing everything. I cannot figure out how to make this work. So I'm like, no big deal. I have a second one. So I switch them out. I'm using the other one, which is only used when like you're here, when Harper's here, maybe sometimes somebody in Wichita comes over for a Grave Talks episode. But that one has 90% less usage, right?
Right.
So I move it. It's working great. And yesterday I'm sitting here. I'm like, man, this is so great. Like this mic stand is, it's doing its job. I'm feeling good. I'm sitting here talking and all of a sudden, boom, it just drops and hits my desk so hard. It just quit. So now,
that's weird.
Yeah. So now both of them are busted within a couple days of each other. So I'm literally recording this with a makeshift mic stand. So I have a box of Kleenex upside down. the microphone is propped up on that. And then I have a BioFreeze roll-on bottle. Like the front of the mic holding it up so I can actually sit in a regular position. So that's what I'm talking into right now. Well, it's pretty ingenious.
You know, sometimes, or what I find is a lot of times, life is a MacGyver, right? I have a little light switch that all of a sudden, and it's one that I really need. It's the light that comes like into my entryway. And I try to move the lights, but it won't click. It'll go like halfway, but it won't go any farther over. It just stops. And I don't want to just force it. I'm not sure what's causing it to do that. And so, you know me, like I thought, you know, if I just cut a piece of an eraser and have that handy, I could stick it in there and hold it in place until, you know, I get the electrician in to replace this outlet business.
Or my solution would be, I can just grab a kitchen chair and jump up there and unscrew the light bulb and screw it back in.
Well, this is the light switch just won't click. Oh, it'll go halfway and the light will come on, but then it just flips right back. It won't go the whole way. So it's so funny. I'm like, I can put a little bit of eraser and hold it when I want it on and then pull it out when I don't.
Well, so, I don't think any of my issues are paranormal by any means, but it sure does feel weird as shit. Because I'm like, what is going on? Like,
I have to say that I had one the other day. I think it might be because you guys all know I'm terribly claustrophobic. Like, I really have a problem with locked doors, shut doors, especially rooms with no windows. That's a huge, huge problem for me. And the other day, I went into my bedroom, and I shut the door behind me. But I'm sure I didn't even probably use a handle. I probably just pushed the door itself with my hand because I like to close the door behind me because I have a heater and it keeps the warm in my bedroom when I'm getting dressed and stuff. Anyway, neither here nor there. I go to leave the room and the door is locked. Now, it's not a problem because it locks from the inside, but I know I didn't lock that door. Like, I have an issue with doors being locked. I would not.
And you live by yourself. There's no reason to lock
the door. And I go to go out and the door's locked and I'm turning it and I'm going, what the heck? How is this door locked? And you have to literally, you know, it's one of those button ones on the back and turn it which way you want it to go to lock. And I was like, you really have to turn this one. There's no like, oh, I could have accidentally just bumped it a little or something. I was like, that one's weird. And it really kind of shook me because, like I said, I have issues with locked doors. So
I don't know what's going on with us.
Little things.
Paranormal, probably not, but golly.
Yeah.
So as I sit here with my BioFreeze roll-on in my upside-down box at Kleenex, at least it's working. Now, if you hear a sudden thud at any point during this, I accidentally knocked it over because it's also in a very weird place. So like my mouse for my laptop's not where it should be. Like everything's all backwards in here. But I'm doing the best I can, doing the best I can. So let's go to our first story today about the identical twins. It says, my sister and I are identical. We've always looked so much alike that teachers mixed us up all through school. Even now, people who don't know us well cannot tell the difference. We used to think it was funny. We'd swap clothes or answer each other's names just to mess with people. That part of being a twin always felt harmless. This started when we were still living at home around 2012. It wasn't an old house. It wasn't creepy. We lived there for years without anything strange happening. That's probably why it took so long for us to accept that something was actually off. The first thing I remember clearly was seeing my sister walk past my bedroom doorway when she wasn't home. I was sitting on my bed with my laptop. I saw her out of the corner of my eye going down the hallway. Same hair, same posture, same way she swings her arms slightly when she walks. I even called her name, but she didn't answer. I assumed she was ignoring me, which wouldn't have been unusual. A few minutes later, my mom yelled upstairs to see if I had seen her because she wasn't answering her phone, and that's when I realized her car wasn't even in the driveway. She was still at work. I told myself it was just my peripheral vision playing tricks on me. That's easy to do, especially when you live with someone who looks exactly like you. But then it happened a week or two later. I was in the kitchen. I caught a reflection in the microwave door behind me. I turned around right away because I thought she was about to say something sarcastic, but there was no one there. I checked outside. Once again, her car wasn't there. That's when it stopped being a quick, oh, that's weird moment and started sitting with me. After that, I began hearing my name being called in her voice. It wasn't whispery or distorted. It sounded normal. The way she'd call me from down the hall when she wanted something. Sometimes it sounded irritated, like she already had called me once. I would answer and walk toward her room only to find it empty, or she'd be asleep, or she wouldn't even be home. At first, I thought maybe the sound was traveling weirdly through the house, but the voice always felt close, like it was coming from just outside my door. The physical stuff started later. I would wake up in the middle of the night feeling like someone had sat on the edge of my bed. Not heavy or dramatic, just the mattress dipping slightly near my feet. The first time it happened, I thought I'd moved in my sleep and felt the bed shift. But the second time, the dip moved. It started near the corner and pressed down closer toward my knee, like someone was slowly crawling onto the mattress. I hate that. Ooh. I don't like it. I jumped up and turned on the light. Nothing was there. I checked under the bed, even though I knew that was ridiculous. I did not sleep much the rest of that night. I didn't tell my sister about the bed right away because I didn't want her to think I was losing it. But one afternoon, something happened that made me finally say it out loud. I was walking downstairs and I saw her standing at the bottom looking up at me. She was wearing one of my shirts, which annoyed me more than anything. I remember saying, "Seriously?" She didn't respond. She just stood there with this blank expression, and then she stepped backward into the living room. I followed immediately, expecting her to roll her eyes at me, but the living room was empty. The front door was locked. My mom was outside in the yard. My sister was at work. I checked her location on my phone because at that point I needed proof, and she was across town. That's when I felt something shift inside of me. Wasn't a panic attack, it was more like recognition, like I'd just seen something I wasn't supposed to see. After that, I started noticing smaller things. I would hear her laugh when she wasn't home. Once, I was brushing my teeth and saw her walk past the bathroom doorway in the mirror. I didn't turn around right away. I watched the reflection move down the hall. It stopped halfway like someone had paused a video. And when I turned around, the hallway was empty. But when I looked back at the mirror, nothing was there. I told my mom everything that night. I expected her to dismiss it, but she didn't. She got very quiet and admitted that she had had a couple moments herself when she thought one of us was in a room and then realized neither of us were. My sister also admitted that she had seen me, and that's in quotes, me, once when I was out with friends. She said she saw me go into my bedroom and close the door. When she went to knock, the room was empty. It never felt violent, nothing attacked me, nothing scratched or pushed me. It was always imitation, and that's what bothered me the most. The final thing that pushed my mom to bring a priest over was one night when I was in my room folding laundry. I heard my sister's voice clearly say my name from right outside my door. I answered without thinking, no response, opened the door, and saw the end of the hallway empty. A second later, my phone buzzed with a text from her asking if I wanted anything from the store. She was nowhere near the house. After the blessing, things stopped. Not gradually, just stopped. No more reflections, no more voices, no more bed shifting. The house felt normal again. We moved out a few years later for unrelated reasons. Nothing followed me. I've lived in two different places since then, never experienced anything like that again. I don't know if doppelganger is the right word. I don't know if it was stress, some strange psychological thing, something spiritual. All I know is I saw my sister in places she couldn't have been. And it wasn't once. It was enough times that I stopped being able to explain it away. The part that stays with me isn't fear. It's how specific it was. It didn't show up as a shadow or some vague presence. It shows a face that I trusted. Even now, if I see her in a reflection before I see her directly, I always take that extra second to make sure she moves the way she should. Thanks for reading this. I don't tell it often because I don't like how it sounds when I say it out loud, but it happened. And I still don't have a clean explanation for it. That's Nicole. I don't have a clean explanation for that. But, well, you know, twins have that weird twin thing, too.
They do.
But it did affect mom. Mom saw some things, too.
Exactly. See, when you first said twins, I thought, I think most twins have a very supernatural connection to each other. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, she's actually kind of seeing what her sister is anticipating doing or thinking she'll do later. Like, she's actually reading her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or, you know, getting, you know, transmissions from her sister about, like, the sister thinking, I'm going to wear the shirt. And then she sees her sister wearing the shirt and it makes her mad or whatever. So I thought that, but that would not explain the mom at all. How the mom would be in that kind of, you know, connection between the twins. So I didn't really have that. And then I also thought, you know, at first, I think sometimes we project imagery onto something so our brain can have something to see or focus on. And I wonder if, you know, like at the times you don't even see anything, but you're just kind of projecting it, you know, so that it's something you could live with. Well, what could you live with? I could live with my sister being a jerk or, you know, yelling at me or whatever. And so sometimes I think we could literally project. But then as I listened to the story, I thought, no, I don't think that lines up with this either, because the sister's having it too. The mom's had it a couple times or three. Well, you know, we never know. The mom admitted a couple, but the mom might have had it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We can never be too sure about parents in these stories, about exactly how much they knew it and when. So I guess in this situation, it's weird, but it does appear to be one of those weird doppelganger spirits that can just kind of take on a, you know, a persona.
And then what's the point of a doppelganger? And I might add, that priest kicked all the ass. Like, yeah. That priest came in and took care of the business.
Amen to that.
Amen to that.
Yeah. I mean, he took,
notch.
Like, yeah, we may have to find out who this guy is.
Because frequently
get him on the show.
Yeah, because you hear about the priest coming in and it always goes, things slow down for a while until. Like, that seems to be the formula. Like, the priest can only do so much. Or it's like, well, here's some holy water. Good luck, parishioner. And yeah. But this guy came over and just took care of it. Like, he just kicked it to the curb.
Who was the one in The Exorcist? Rod Steiger, was that?
I think.
I'm just envisioning that face here coming into the house and, like, all hell breaks loose and he just tames it.
Let's see. Oh, you're never going to get this. Max von Sydow did it.
Oh, that is right. That is correct.
He was Father Damien Karras, or Karras. Oh, no. I don't remember how they said it. So apparently that's who they called to come into this house. The mom just reached out for that guy. Although he did play a very convincing exorcist, if I remember right.
That's right, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't understand the whole doppelganger thing. I don't get why it happens, but it does. And like the voice thing. But just part of me wonders if it's a little bit of a twin thing too, where she's just picking up on her sister moving through the universe, you know?
Yeah, it's, I want to say that, but it just doesn't explain the mom's end of it.
Okay, so she's picking up on the sister moving through the universe, and she lives in a haunted house. And there you go. Yeah, I don't know what that's all about. I just find it fascinating. But I'm so glad that it's over.
And that's what makes me think it's more specifically tied to the house than some sort of connection between the girls, because it quit.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then it's like some weird demon-y type of thing to do. It's like they trick you into thinking it's the person that you love the most in the world, and then boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming and get you right after that. Well, let's go to this phone call.
This is Tara calling back. I called a few months ago about my experiences in high school, where I was at my best friend's house and heard my name being called, and had someone sit in bed with me. And then later on, the story also about my friend who had a dream that there were men in the kitchen, and I told her that it wasn't a dream and that it had really happened. Instead of telling you another story about that house, I want to tell you a story. The first ghost experience that I had that I can remember, I was probably around the age of four or five, and I was at my grandparents' house with my cousin, who was about a year older than me. My grandmother had told us to go into her bedroom and get some RC Cola that she kept behind her bedroom door. We went into her bedroom, went back behind her bedroom door, grabbed the cola. We were starting to head back out of the room when in front of us, we saw what looked like a man walking towards us, coming out of the bathroom. He was on his knees. I know she saw him because we both just kind of stood there and watched. It felt like forever that we were staring at him, which I know it couldn't have been. It was just maybe a minute or so. But he was on his knees, kind of like hobbling towards us. And he was green in color, looked like he had, like he was wearing chains. He wasn't see-through. He looked like a man, just a green man on his knees. We obviously ran out of the bedroom scared. That's really all I remember. I don't remember telling my grandmother what happened or our parents or anything. I do know that we talked about it later on. We call him the RC guy. Years later, I was probably, 12, 13 years old at the time. I brought it up to my mom. And I was like, hey, do you remember, and I told her the story of what happened. She kind of laughed and she was like, yeah, I remember you telling me about that. And she said, there's something I need to tell you. And I'm like, okay, great. So she tells me that there was the family that lived in my grandparents' house previously had a son who was about maybe 19, 20 years old, and he had gotten into drugs and in a bad way with bad people, I guess. Maybe he owed him money or something. Anyway, they took him from the house, from my grandparents' house, took him to a rock quarry a couple miles away and chained him to cement blocks and pushed him down into the water. I was validated for one, my mom telling me this story years later. It kind of definitely made me, I knew what I saw was real, but having her tell me this just, it kind of blew my mind. But what I saw as a young child was this boy on his knees with chains around him, and he was green. I mean, if you think about it, if you've been in the water long enough, you're probably going to turn a shade of green. I just thought that was really cool. I never had any other experience like that, other than just being creeped out, being in their basement, which is where his room was whenever he lived there. And those feelings were before I ever knew the story that my mom told me. So, I just thought that I should share that with you guys. And I hope you find it as interesting as I did. Thanks. Keep up the good work. Bye.
What I think is interesting is that I would find that terrifying. And she's like, it was pretty cool.
I know. I thought the exact same thing. I was like, I'm not sure seeing somebody on their knees chained and green would be.
It sounds like something right out of a horror movie, you know, like the special effects thing that you see in the movie. You're like, ew, that's gross. That's what it sounded like.
It did. But, you know, I think I'm wondering as a child if, you know, you just kind of sometimes perceive stuff differently. Like you go, okay, well, that was weird. All right. You know, maybe she was so young, it just didn't really scare her. And then just felt like it was wrong or weird or, you know, somehow maybe even as a child, she knew it wasn't even real. Like she could see it, but it wasn't a real person standing there or something. I feel like, you know, the kids, there were two of them, right?
I think so.
Yeah. And I feel like they kind of felt like they were kind of detached from it and just kind of like, okay, that was weird. All right, let's go play, you know? But later when she finds out the story, she's like, wow, that's pretty, you know, pretty mind blowing. That's amazing. So I kind of think that maybe early on, she just was like, did I really? What was that?
Well, I know as when I was a child, I was a very sensitive child in many different ways. But if I would have seen that, number one, that would have terrified me. Number two, the backstory would have made it even worse for me.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I might have needed counseling. Like, that's how deep that would have hit me. Ugh. You know, because the backstory to it's pretty horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So I don't think I would have dealt with it. Hats off for people like her who can hear, you know, experience things like that and deal with it in a much more mature way than I can. I just can't.
Can you imagine?
That's just a lot to deal with, especially when you're a kid. So if you have a real ghost story, please share it with us. All you got to do is call it in at 855-853-4802. If you're like, I'm a little shy, though, you can write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber if you're interested. No commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or through patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, we thank you so much for listening.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.